Wisdom, the final frontier to true knowledge. Welcome to Wisdom Trek, where our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, your captain on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Thank you for joining us today as we explore wisdom on our second millennium of podcast. This is day 1439 of our trek, and it is time for Meditation Monday. Taking time to relax, refocus, and reprioritize our lives is crucial in order to create a living legacy. For you, it may be just a time alone for quiet reflection, or you may utilize structured meditation practices. In my life, meditation includes reading and reflecting on God's Word and in prayer. It is a time to renew my mind, refocus on what is most important, and making sure that I am nurturing my soul, mind, and body. As you come along with me on our trek each Meditation Monday, it is my hope and prayer that you too will experience a time of reflection and renewing of your mind. We are continuing a new series this week on Meditation Monday, which will focus on mastering Bible study through a series of brief insights from Hebrew scholar Dr. Michael S. Heiser. Our first few insights will focus on the study habits to build a strong foundation. Today, let's meditate on the goal of Bible study. Insight number 5, insist on being a slave to the text. Let it be your master. Dr. Heiser has been in academia for over 30 years, both as a graduate student and a professor. He has spent time in both Christian and secular institutions. His Christian experience has taught him the fundamentally important lesson of having a high view of Scripture. Dr. Heiser's view is that we need to treat it as God's Word. Dr. Heiser's secular years taught him a lesson just as valuable, and one that he did not find consistently in the Christian context, and that is to be a slave to the text. In his secular experience, being a slave to the text meant that you shouldn't bring prior commitments to the biblical text that you're studying. Theological ideas about how the text came about or how it might be understood to achieve a theological outcome should be left behind. The text is all that matters. Theological commitments are irrelevant and, in fact, impediments to understanding. This, of course, is what one would expect in a secular institution. They aren't seminaries. However, there's a bit of flaw in this understanding. Objectivity is a myth. No one can jettison all preconceptions about something, no matter what the context. The secular scholar has presupposition about his or her own crouch in the mind, ready to influence interpretation. We all should be aware of that fact, so take that part with a grain of salt. But don't lose the lesson here. The text is all that matters, so we must let the text take us where it leads. Ironically, despite the pervading belief in inspiration, you usually don't see this principle consistently practiced in Christian academia. True, any given seminary has and needs to have certain theological commitments, but those theological commitments should not be the basis of judging scholarship or handing out grades. Rather, professors should be forthright. They should have a well-informed exegetical arguments for their positions, presumably those of the school, but they should also be honest with the text. They should admit that, given other interpretations about the Hebrew or Greek grammar, the word usage here and there, the conclusion drawn from the passage could be different. To hide those possibilities or to manipulate the text to your obvious conclusion is to be dishonest. So it should be with personal Bible study. The text is what is inspired and nothing else. Loyalty to God's word means letting it be your master. By definition, your interpretation or belief cannot be biblical if it is not derived from the text. Let's move on to insight number 6. The goal of Bible study should not be to get a spiritual buzz. Every earnest believer wants their study of the Scripture to make a difference, both in their lives and in the lives of others. I'm not suggesting that it should be expected or always will happen, but productive and meaningful Bible study should move you emotionally from time to time. I realize this last sentence is contrary to what many people have been taught or perhaps read. What do I mean, from time to time? Shouldn't we always be emotionally touched by Bible study? And the answer is that if you're doing Bible study to feel a particular way or to get some spiritual high, your Bible study is self-focused. And to be blunt, that is the antithesis of Bible study. Bible study is not about you. It is about gaining knowledge of God and His plan through the means He gave you for that end, which is the Bible. It doesn't mean that we don't learn about God in other ways, yet God prompted people to write long ago so that those of us living today would know certain things about Him, His plan for humanity, Jesus Christ, and how to be in a right relationship with Him through Jesus. Nowhere are we taught in the Bible to search the Scripture to feel a certain way. The perspective of Bible study against which I am arguing has to be in mind, reduce the role of the Spirit to tingling our emotions. As a result of that outlook, weak-minded believers are tossed about by the elasticity of their feelings and circumstances, and they fall easy prey to clever articulations of bad theology, even within the church. Real Bible study ought to produce careful thinkers about the truth. As we expose ourselves to Scripture and submit to what it teaches us on our own terms, the Spirit will illumine our minds and use that understanding to move us emotionally, whether that to be a profound sense of peace, satisfaction, guilt, or repentance. Too often we read or study Scripture with an unconscious demand. Lord, I'm reading this now. Give me that feeling. I really need to get through my day. Bible study is not a narcotic. You can't have a true sense of knowing God and the emotional impact that it brings without the discipline of being in the Word of God. God knows what you need. He will honor your loyalty. And for our scripture today, let's once again look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. And that's a wrap for today's meditation. Next week, we will continue our track on Meditation Monday as we continue to take a time to reflect on what is most important in creating our living legacy. On tomorrow's trek, we will explore another wisdom quote. This 3-minute wisdom supplement will assist you on becoming healthy, wealthy, and wise each day. Thank you for joining me for this trek that we call life, and encourage your friends and family to join us and to come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, creating a legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,438 daily treks or read the daily journals, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor, but most importantly, I am your friend as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward. Enjoy your journey and create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.